From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. I don't know about you, but I feel like something is broken on our roads. There have always been some number of people driving recklessly. I mean, I grew up in Chicagoland. My parents wouldn't let me take the state test to get my driver's license until I passed their test, which involved going downtown on the Dan Ryan and navigating Lower Wacker Drive, among other feats of hectic city driving. But as someone who's been driving for 30 years and taken several cars past 100,000 miles, something feels different now. People are driving more thoughtlessly, carelessly, angrily. And I know I'm not alone in this. Here's a voicemail we got on this topic.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm calling from Champaign. Over the past month or so, I have seen an increase in reckless driving, people running red lights, one time in which I was almost in a crash, seen people shifting lanes without looking first, clearly distracted, also sometimes not immediately driving when the light turns green, so also instances of distracted driving, and then also just not looking for pedestrians and cyclists when they're trying to cross the road or shift into lanes. These people are in a hurry and they don't really care what happens as long as they get to where they're going. So those are my thoughts. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. I know Aaron and I are not alone in what we're seeing out there. Speeding, blowing off stop signs or red lights. How about this? Driving without license plates. We're going to get into that. For more on this, we're going to revisit a conversation I first had on the show a couple months ago with Maren Kogan. She's a senior correspondent with Vox covering traffic safety, as well as gun violence and other issues. Some of her recent stories on these topics include why pedestrian deaths in the U.S. are at a 40-year high, how cars fuel racial inequality, and a fatal crash shows us everything that's wrong with traffic enforcement. I heard Maren on a Slate podcast over the summer and was eager to talk with her since. As I mentioned, we first broadcast this conversation back in September, so we're not taking calls live on the show today, but do please share your thoughts by emailing talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Maren Kogan, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you recently wrote that last story I mentioned. You wrote about this crash. It was earlier this year. It involved a Lexus in Washington, D.C. Just a little bit of background. The vehicle was stopped by police going, 80 miles an hour, blowing through red lights. The officer thought he saw one of the passenger holding liquor. And then the car speeds off. What happens next?
So the officer did not chase that vehicle because, like many police guidelines across the country, there's limits on what kinds of police chases they can pursue, basically only if they think that person is an immediate threat or they're in the act of committing a felony are they allowed to do a police chase, and that's for safety reasons. Unfortunately, in this case, just minutes after the driver sped off from the traffic stop, it crossed into an oncoming lane of traffic going 100 miles an hour and struck a vehicle in the opposite lane of traffic. It was a Lyft vehicle, a driver and two passengers. All three of them were killed. The driver of the Lexus and her passenger survived. And, you know, I'd like to tell you a little bit, if it's okay, about why yeah. this really struck a nerve in my community, which is Washington, D.C. You can look up the automated traffic enforcement records. Basically, you can look up a license plate and see how many tickets someone has accrued. And it turned out that this car that perpetrated the crash had $17,000 in moving violations that were unpaid. And the vast majority of them, I think nearly all of them, were for speeding. And most of them were for the months immediately prior to the crash. And then when the police finished their investigation, they did ultimately charge the driver with murder and these three deaths. It emerged that she had had three prior DUI convictions in DC alone and two more DUI cases in Virginia. So this is someone who very, very clearly was a threat to other people. The government had lots of data by all accounts. By law, her license should have been revoked. She should not have been able to drive, but she slipped through the cracks. And I think it was really emblematic to people in our community. And I think it's true nationally that the legal enforcement mechanisms we have to keep people safe on the road are breaking down, and you do see some of that in the way people drive.
Yeah, and DC has unique problems, as you point out. But I mean, this is a broader trend, right? And we're seeing this in deaths in traffic crashes, right? The number was at the highest number since 2005. What's going on there?
Yeah, so this isn't just an abstract thing. And I think, as you said, it's something that we all sort of notice is happening. And this is really why I started writing about this. I never thought I would write about these issues, but it really started for me in 2020. My home office overlooks a four-way intersection, a four-way stop sign, and I just noticed drivers just flying through the stop sign. And it started to become the norm rather than the exception. And so I started thinking, I wonder if this is just DC or if it's happening nationally. When I started looking into the numbers, I had this sense of, oh my gosh, something is really happening here. So just to give you some context, in 2021, almost 43,000 people died in traffic crashes, and that was the highest number, like you mentioned, since 2005. In 2022, an estimated almost 43,000 people were killed. Now, this is about the same number of people who die from gun violence in this country every year. And so, yeah, the numbers are bad. And I think the thing that is really important for people to keep in mind is this is not happening all over the world. Several other comparable nations, whether it be in Western Europe, but even places like Canada, Australia, Japan, are not seeing these huge spikes in fatalities that we are, and particularly pedestrian fatalities. It is something unique that is happening here.
Well, one of the so you dive into what some of the potential causes of this might be, and one of them you talk about is police performing fewer traffic stops. Now, I looked up the data for Illinois, and according to traffic stop information submitted to the state Department of Transportation for the most recent year was for 2022, and I should say it's incomplete because like one in five of our law enforcement agencies either don't submit data for this or it's incomplete. But of those that did, the number of stops steadily climbed over the years until, as you say, 2020. And then they drop off a cliff. It's the pandemic. They increase again over the next couple of years, but it's still hundreds of thousands fewer than before the pandemic and before that summer of racial reckoning, George Floyd, and the other protests that happened in 2020. This is a national trend, right?
Absolutely. And I should say, the reasons behind the increase in deaths, and I'm sure we'll go into this later, but I think they're multifarious, right? I think road design plays a big role, and the fact that during the pandemic, traffic patterns were interrupted. And so you didn't have that usual congestion, which tends to slow people down. And so people could go very fast. Vehicle design, of course, is an issue as well. But there's undeniably something going on in the US with traffic enforcement. Something has changed in the last few years, and I think we need to take a look at it and try to determine what's going on, especially as deaths are rising. So there is no one centralized place where you can find the data about police stops in this country, but just doing a sort of survey of the national scene, you can see that traffic enforcement is down in many jurisdictions and cities. So, and even among the police themselves, I found a survey of over 1,000 police officers from 2021. They said nearly 60% of them said they were less likely to stop a vehicle for violating traffic laws than they were prior to 2020. When the pandemic happened, and of course we had this major sort of national reckoning about police brutality. And in San Diego, stops dropped by 50% between 2019 and 2022. So these are, I'm going to give you an example of just, where there is data reported, what it looks like. In Vermont, they fell 40% in 2020. In Seattle, police issued half as many traffic tickets between 2019 and 2023. In St. Louis, it dropped from basically 86%. And in Austin, they dropped by about 90% between 2017 and 2021. So this is happening as these traffic deaths are reaching record highs. So there is definitely something going on. We don't know the exact connection, but it does seem to be the case that as deaths are rising, the police have dramatically pulled back on traffic enforcement.
And there are reasons that people want police to be doing less traffic enforcement, right? This came up this year here in Illinois. One of the things you wrote about is that there are, and again, it's good to point out, this is a very complicated issue. There are many factors. We're just talking about one aspect of it right now. But among those factors are laws limiting the basis police can use for traffic stops, right? Our governor signed one of those laws this summer. It says police can't stop people for having something that obstructs their view, right? And this is like an air freshener or a rosary or even a wheelchair parking permit from hanging from the mirror. But there are good reasons that people don't want police doing as many of these sort of petty traffic stops, right?
Absolutely, 100%. So a number of cities and states right now are reforming traffic enforcement practices with the longstanding recognition that they have been both sort of racially discriminatory and discriminatory towards people who are poor. In other words, if you get a ticket for something like, a broken taillight, and maybe that taillight is broken because you don't have the money to fix it right now, and then you can't pay the ticket for the same reason, and then you can't pay it on time, you can get trapped in a sort of escalating debt situation, which is really not helping anyone. And there's also the recognition, right, that traffic stops have been used too many times as a pretext for searching for other crimes, and it has just quickly escalated to violence that can sometimes even be deadly in many places. So a number of cities and states are overhauling what police are allowed to pull drivers over for with that sense in mind. I think what we need to be considering at this particular moment is, you know, it's a good thing to reform old practices that are harmful or discriminatory. If we don't replace it with something that is equitable and truly focused on safety, then I think that's when we start to see a situation like we have now, where fatalities are on the rise, pedestrian fatalities especially are on the rise. And by the way, those don't have, you know, the people who die in this country as pedestrians, as cyclists, even as car drivers, it's not racially blind. It's people who are living in communities that have poorer infrastructure, have lower levels of investment in road safety. It's often Black, Brown, Hispanic, and Indigenous people. So there is an equity concern here as well, in addition to the fact that we just don't want to see this many people dying on our roads, and our fatality rates are just completely out of proportion with other similar countries.
100%. And I think back to what a local Democratic activist I knew in Springfield, Illinois, said a few years ago. They had put in this fancy traffic circle on the west, white, wealthier side of town. Meanwhile, the sidewalks are crumbling on the east African-American side of town, so people in wheelchairs, for example, have to ride on the streets rather than on their sidewalks. Great example of what you were talking about. Let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Ray is calling from Peoria on line four. Ray, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you for doing the show. You really got my attention this morning.
So what are you seeing out there on the roads?
Well, I guess my main concern is the speeding, and I try to understand it. I'm educated beyond my intelligence. I happen to be a psychologist, and I try to just not get caught up. But I tell you, driving down a main road one day, and someone speeding by doing at least 100 miles an hour and ran a stoplight, was really disconcerting. And, you know, understanding we've all been through a lot, and we can look at all kinds of reasons and demographic disparities, and I love that you're analyzing that. I've actually looked for data, started to recently, to see, is this just my perception, or are people behaving differently? And thankfully, because of your show today, I realize it's not just my perception.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that. And something I want to ask, and thank you for that call, Ray. I really appreciate that. And Maren, we need to take a break in about a minute and a half here. So maybe we can just talk briefly about this and then come back to it. But I wonder if this, how much of this driving we're seeing is of a piece with other bad behavior, right? People yelling and attacking flight attendants, threatening librarians. I don't know, vaping in a crowded theater performance of Beetlejuice, to pick an example at random. You know, what is going on with America's psyche right now?
Yeah, I really appreciate that call too. And I think it is, I hope that psychologists will start, you know, researching this more. There are a few doing it now, but something is very clearly going on in our society. I think the pandemic We saw the sort of breakdown of the social contract a little bit, and I think you're seeing that in all of these different events that you mentioned, and driving is certainly one of them.
All right, we need to take a break on the show. We're going to continue our conversation with Maren Kogan, who's a senior correspondent with Vox, covering traffic safety, as well as gun violence and other issues. This is a conversation we first broadcast on the show back in September, so we're not taking calls live today. We did hear from a caller a little while ago, Ray, but again, that call came in when we first broadcast this show back in September. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about some of the other things that cause road rage and some of the bad driving we're seeing out there. I got to say, I myself feel rage when I see people driving without license plates. So we're going to talk more about this when we return. We are not taking calls live again because this show is taped, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. More to come. Stay with us.
I don't care. As long as I got my plastic cheese, I'm sitting on the dashboard of my car. Going 90, it ain't scary, cause I got the Virgin Mary sitting on the dashboard of my car. I'm in the backseat sinning, Jesus up there grinning, sitting on the dashboard of my car.
It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to continue listening back to a conversation we broadcast back in September about the rise of bad driving. I think that's the easiest way to summarize what we've been seeing. But there are significant consequences to that. Pedestrian fatalities are at a 40-year high. And meanwhile, this is while traffic enforcement plummeted during the pandemic and after the summer of racial reckoning, and is still way down. There were hundreds of thousands fewer traffic stops last year than in 2019. We're talking about all this with Maren Kogan, who is a senior correspondent covering transportation for Vox. Because the show's on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Maren, I mentioned this before the break. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Maybe it's that Dunning-Kruger effect where you see something once and then you notice it everywhere. But big pickup trucks, specifically without license plates. I was on a recent drive, Interstate 72 between Champaign, Illinois and Springfield, Illinois, pretty rural area. I saw these two pickup trucks. They had these decorative International Harvester plates on the back where their official state plates should be. I took another trip through central Missouri earlier this year. Four separate trucks, no plates. A couple of them were driving like madmen. We don't even really have speed cameras in this part of the country, this part of the state anyway. But this is, I gather, not a problem that's unique to Illinois.
No, it's not. And I think driving without a license plate at all is maybe regionally something that you're seeing more and more of in many East Coast cities. What we're seeing is the proliferation of fake temporary tags. So people getting basically fake paper license plates that people might have when they buy a new car and they're waiting for their permanent tags to come in. People are buying fake ones off the internet and putting them on their car. And the reason to do that is that you can ostensibly look like you're following the law, but you're not held accountable because the plates can't be traced back to you. So you can drive as quickly as possible. If you do happen to come across an automated traffic enforcement or traffic camera, if it takes a photo, it won't have anywhere to send the ticket because, it's not tied to your actual home address. So this is another way to sort of get around the law. And it really proliferated during the pandemic when a bunch of DMVs just were completely backed up because of work from home policies and things like that. There sort of was this black market created of these fake tags, and they've been really hard to crack down on. I think, again, when you're seeing a vehicle without a plate at all, what they're counting on is just there being no enforcement. And certainly, I think the pullback in enforcement has created a sense among people that, they can get away with almost anything. And this is really emblematic of that dynamic.
I'm fascinated by the regional differences here because, yeah, and I think, I don't know if it was in your reporting or maybe Henry Grabar at Slate, who's written about these issues, had this link to a tweet from a guy in New York City who was going around sort of fixing license plates, pulling, a leaf that somebody had seemingly clearly stuck there to obscure their plate from cameras, or even using a Sharpie to draw in letters where the paint had peeled off. Whereas around here, and maybe it's just my stereotyping, given that it's on these giant pickup trucks, I get the feeling that it's kind of a don't tread on me, right? Keep the government out of my business kind of thing. You know, Calvin peeing on the social compact sticker. I wonder, what you think of that.
I mean, I think it's definitely true. I mean, part of what makes this issue tricky and hard to discuss is that, we associate our cars with freedom. And I don't want to be dismissive of that, completely, because in many ways the car is, just such an essential tool, especially in the United States, because we've built our communities and we've built our roads in such a way where most of us have to drive to go to work, to get groceries, to take our kids places, to, do anything, to see other people, to see the rest of the country. So there is some element of that, but I think sometimes it also gets mixed with a sort of, libertarian and identitarian thing. It's like, this car is essential to who I am. It's essential to me as a man, for example. Sometimes people want to drive a big truck because it feels like very empowering to them. And then I think, some of it creeps into this idea of like, I can get away with this stuff. And I think that is one cultural difference that we have in the United States, that, in many European countries, there are just traffic cameras everywhere. I will say they don't have the same amount of large trucks and SUVs that we do, but there are cameras everywhere. So there is sort of a sense that, like, if you're going to disobey the laws, you're just going to get caught. We do not have that sense in the United States. And I think people tend to get pretty upset when they think about this idea that, like, rather than just, it's me and my car and I should be able to go wherever I want, this notion that we're all sort of sharing the road together and we all sort of owe each other to be safe, because essentially, I mean, we're driving these things that can kill people. And certainly since I started writing about this, I think a lot more about the fact that, okay, I'm in the big, large vehicle here. How can I, even though my car isn't huge, right? I just think, like, how can I be responsible and safe and care about the people who are sharing this road with me?
Yeah. And, that's something I appreciate about your reporting on this topic, is that you do acknowledge the reality. Whatever people may idealize we need in America in terms of greater investment in public transit and more walkable cities and things like that, that is not the country we live in right now. And your reporting has tried to reckon with that fact for people. I want to see if we can get a couple more calls in. Rich is calling from Geneseo, Illinois, on line two. Rich, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you. The thing I've noticed is there's just no courteous drivers anymore anywhere. I drive a truck, and the things that I see is just unbelievable. 80% of the people have their phones in their hand or in their lap talking on the phone. I get tailgated all the time. It's just crazy. I just common sense just gone out the window.
Out the window, absolutely. Thanks for that call, Rich. I appreciate it. Let's go to line three. Christine is calling from Savoy on line three. Christine, thank you for calling in.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. We did a lot of driving this summer, East Coast, West Coast, or Colorado. The number of people on cell phones is stunning. And anytime we saw a Weavey driver and passed them, almost 95% of the time they were on cell phones. And it's one of the reasons I won't get on a bike and ride on streets anymore. I'll only ride on paths. So that's my big concern, is the texting while driving is crazy.
No, that is a great point, Christine. I'm right there with you. I love riding my bike, and there used to be a route I would take that put me on a road without much shoulder, and it really counted on the fact of drivers paying attention, not seeing me. I've been very reluctant to take that route, really just this summer. And, I don't know, maybe this is, again, Dunning-Kruger effect. I've started reading about these issues, and now I see it everywhere, but I, too, have been preferring bike paths. One more call. I think Fad is calling from the Peoria area on line one. Fad, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just really wanted to make people be aware of all the bad drivers out here. About 12 years ago, I was in a car accident, and I was in a coma for 43 days, and I had a 10% chance of living, and they said I'd wake up. If I woke up, I'd be on hospice for the rest of my life, eating through a tube. There's so many bad drivers out there in semis. You weigh 60,000 pounds. Do the speed limit or do under the speed limit. Like, if you get in a car accident, you're going to kill so many people. Do the speed limit, please. Like, all you people just need to do the speed limit, especially on Route 9. Do the speed limit. It's not 80, it's not 90. All you people that work at Caterpillar and,
I hear you, Fat. Yeah. I'm very sorry for what you went through, and I thank you for calling in to share your experience and perspective with us. Maren, I don't know if you want to respond to anything this is clearly tapped into something out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so sorry to hear about that. And I'm really glad to hear from that last caller in particular, because I think this gets to something. 42,000 people are dying a year. So we think about one, that is an immense tragedy, right? That's almost the same number of people who are dying from gun violence. It's terrible. And two, for the people who don't die, right? I mean, we just heard from a caller who had this horrific experience. There are so many people in this country that live with the aftermath of those kinds of crashes. And I think it's terrible. I also think I'm really glad the previous caller mentioned cell phones, because I think it is obviously a problem in our country. The one thing that I find really curious is that there are cell phones and widespread cell phone use all over the world, and you don't see this level of crashes happening. So it is something happening with us. And I do think it's partly issues of design, it's partly issues of enforcement, it may also be partly issues of culture, and I think that we need to look at solutions. I always fantasize about this idea that maybe there's something that when we get into a car, it just disables our phone for anything but navigation, right? People aren't tempted to look in the same way that they clearly are now. You see it all the time. It's kind of hard not to be driven nuts by it. I think it's something that we all notice, and If there's anything I'd want people to take away from this, it's just that what you're seeing is not, it's not just you. Something very real is happening, and there are major consequences, and there are solutions, but we have to take it seriously as a problem and fight for those solutions rather than just assuming that this is the way it is, because it's the way it is in the US, but it is not the way it is everywhere else.
Yeah, and maybe in the 5 minutes or so we have remaining, we can talk about some of these policy issues. So just to briefly hit on a couple other comments we got. Leslie from Springfield called in, couldn't stay on the line, but said not a fan of people smoking marijuana, is a marijuana smoker himself, but says smoking and driving is a no-no. I mean, that is a legal product in Illinois. Again, anecdotally, I feel like once a week a car blows past me, and I use that term advisedly, and I get that waft of marijuana. Now, maybe it's on the people's clothes, but that is something that seems to me to have become more brazen in the past few years, that potential form of impaired driving. We heard Skip in Sterling sent us a text message talking about too many drivers think a four-lane road means a license to drive like it's a NASCAR race. And maybe that's something, Maren, we can focus on. This, you talked about our built environment, right? Road design. Another factor is the weight of cars. As we're trying to shift toward more EVs, these tend to be heavier cars. And I even, when I interviewed our governor about this last month, I asked him about it, and he's a self-styled progressive. He's a Democrat. He says he would rather let market forces decide the size and weight of vehicles rather than having a policy response on that. Mm-hmm. Can you speak briefly about some of these issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you're speaking to the two things that really are different in the United States versus everywhere else. So I think when we're looking at why our fatality rates are so much higher, I think especially for pedestrians, I think it's worth taking a look at these issues. So let's start with road design. Roads in the US are built very straight, flat, not all of them, but when we're looking at a lot of communities, particularly communities that have urban and suburban sprawl and suburbs, a lot of the roads are designed are engineered to be straight, flat, wide open. And if there's a lot of traffic, traditionally what traffic engineers do is add more lanes, right? The idea being that more lanes eases the traffic congestion. The reality is that doesn't actually happen. More lanes encourages people to drive more, and you end up having the same amount of traffic that you otherwise would. It's something called induced demand. But let's talk about the road design itself. When a road is built straight and flat and wide with very little impediments on either side, it sends a subtle signal to the driver's brain that you can just drive faster. It is safer to drive faster. And so what you have are these, the popular term in this space is called strodes. They're street road hybrids. So if you think of a street as a place where people live and gather, they shop there, they dine there, they walk and bike around. It's a place where you want the traffic to be slower so that people can interact with the space better and so that multiple types of users can access the road. A road you think of as like a highway, right? That's where you really want multiple lanes. You want everything going the same direction. You want few impediments on either side so that people can get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. In the US, you have something called a strode, and this is coined by a man named Charles Marone, who's done a bunch of really interesting thinking about this. A strode is the worst of both worlds. It's a street road hybrid where you have tons of commercial development on either side, but at the same time, you have these big multi-lane roads going in either direction that sort of lure the drivers into thinking, I should go as fast as possible. And so sometimes, you know, you'll be on these roads and you'll look at your speedometer and notice that you've actually just crept a little bit over the speed limit, even if you're trying to be safe. It's just because the road is so wide open. So
it feels slow to be driving on a strode. I've experienced this myself. Yeah,
absolutely. It feels slow and you feel like, oh, you keep getting stuck at these lights. And that's because there's so many cues in the road design that are like, just go as fast as possible, right? That's where this becomes really deadly because there are lots of people, turning in and off to businesses, trying to access it in different ways, particularly as poorer people are pushed out of cities and are living on the sort of margins of cities. They're often accessing those spaces by foot. And a lot of these strodes don't have sufficient crosswalks, don't have sufficient lighting. And so it makes it just infinitely more dangerous to people and pedestrians in particular than it would otherwise be. As opposed to a street, let's look at a street that has maybe some curves, maybe there's a little island in the middle with some trees on it, maybe there's parking, there's a bike lane. It's a little bit more open to different kinds of users, and it does force the drivers to slow down a little bit. And no one likes traffic congestion. We all want ease and convenience, but I think it's worth considering what are the costs when we prioritize drivers beyond all others. So that is one element of it. The other thing that we have that other countries don't is very large SUVs and trucks. Mm-hmm. Increasingly, that is the entire American market. I mean, it's actually hard to buy a new small car in the US now because auto manufacturers are moving to these larger luxury SUVs and trucks. The government has known for decades that these vehicles are deadlier. They strike pedestrians higher on the body. There's less of a chance of survival. They're heavier, which causes worse injuries and makes them more likely to be fatal when they hit someone. And as you mentioned, now we're moving towards EVs. The government has not intervened at any point to say the cars can't be this big. They're unsafe to others. And in fact, there's a fight going on right now where people are trying to get the government to consider the safety when they rate the safety of vehicles. They don't consider how they're safe for a pedestrian who might get hit.
Absolutely. So fascinating.
That's a big part of it as well.
Yeah. Maren Kogan, this has been such an interesting conversation. I hope we can have you back in the future. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
And thank you to everyone who called in and emailed and texted. What a great conversation. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.